And just to introduce myself, as Andy said, my name's Tim. I'm the pastor of what is currently the New Forest Community Church. We're about to go for a bit of a name change. We're going to become Gateway Community Church, which is really interesting, actually, hearing that prophetic song that was being sung out all about Gateway, where they're going, thank you, Lord, even more confirmation that this is the right step for us to take as a church. We've been in pastoring for around 16 years. We've looked after three different churches during that time. And God's really used us over the years just to bring a bit of change and just to see people come into relationship with Him. That's really what we live and breathe for, is seeing people come into that incredible relationship with God. I've got Danny here, and as Andy said, I'm going to swap a bit with my wife Danny. She's going to come and do the middle bit. It's a bit like a sandwich. I'm the bread. The bread's always the boring bit of the sandwich, right? Everybody loves the filling. Dan's going to be the filling. I'm going to try and be seeded bread at least, and give a little bit of texture to the whole thing. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew 16 and verse 13. And as you're doing that, just to say, we've got two children. I always forget, everybody comes up and says, do you have children? We've got two children. I've got a 19-year-old, and we've got a 16, almost 17-year-old. And the 19-year-old we're missing like mad at the moment. She's in California, and she's studying at Bethel Bible College over there. And then our son is back at New Forest, and he's leading the youth this morning over there. Matthew 16 and verse 13, I think it's incredible. Some of the words that have come out have been so in line with what my heart has been to share with you guys. A lot of people say that I'm a bit of a prophetic speaker, or at least I think it's prophetic. It sounds very similar to that. And my heart is I just believe God's really put something on my heart for you guys. And I believe that God wants to say, be excited about your future. God's got some incredible things for you when it comes to your future. Celebrate your past, focus on your present, but I feel God's highlighting this to me today. Be excited about your future. God has got some incredible things for you. I believe you're on the verge of breaking into a new chapter in God, a new day in God. And actually, what God's going to do is going to blow your mind. The scripture that I've got for you guys is, no eye has seen nor ear heard the things that God's got in store for you. I don't know what prophecies you've had. Let me tell you something. The biggest and best prophecy that's come into this congregation is nothing compared to what God's going to do. That's just a clue, actually, what God's got is far bigger than you can ever imagine and you can ever think. So for goodness sakes, dream big. Get excited about your future. Get excited about what God's got for you, because this new chapter is going to be a chapter that's going to change and transform not only lives, but I believe this town for God. But it requires you to know who you are in God. It requires you to know what God's placed upon your life, because as what has already come up through different prophecies and words, I believe God's shouting at people, hey, remember who you are. Remember who you are. Remember what I've got in store. Remember just what you can do in me and through me. And I believe there's an excitement that God is beginning to birth again within people's lives and within people's hearts. And that is an excitement of what the future looks like. For so long, if you're not careful, we can get so worried or nervous or anxious about the future. I just believe God's saying, I'm cutting through all of that this morning, and I'm telling you, get excited, because your future has nothing to do with Brexit. Your future has nothing to do with where you're meeting or who's speaking or anything else or your past. Your future, I believe God's saying, is about your relationship with me. And out of your relationship with me, watch what I can do through you and in you. The moment I'm glorified in your life, the moment I take precedent in your life, watch what transformation takes place in this town, because God in and through you is incredible. You are more than conquerors through Christ and in Christ. And here we have Peter, and Jesus is talking to the disciples in Matthew 16. And he's beginning to talk right in the middle, right in Philippi, in the center of lots of different religions that are taking place at that time. Lots of things going on, lots of things that people can be looking at and focusing on. But right in the middle of this, Jesus has this incredible chat with some of his disciples, and incredible certainly for Peter, life-changing for Peter. And when Jesus came into the region, verse 13, of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, some said John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You're Christ, you're Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you're Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And here's Peter, and if you look at Peter's life, and I once had the joy of bringing a word to a Catholic church, believe it or not. I spoke in a Catholic church, not understanding, obviously, the prominence of Peter in the Catholic church. And I said, well, one thing about Peter, he's a rubbish fisherman. Eventually, I think they sort of saw that I was bringing a positive out of this. But whenever you read about Peter and fishing, he needs a miracle in order to catch fish. I don't know what he was doing without Jesus. I mean, he must have been a useless fisherman. Whenever you hear him, he's like, he doesn't catch anything. Then God comes, Jesus comes, produces a miracle, and that's where he finds success. And so you see this petulance, if you like, within Peter. He's a very zealous guy, a very confident guy. But he comes to this situation where Jesus looks at him and speaks to him. And regardless of the mistakes he's made in the past, regardless of the failures in the past, regardless of how other people think about him, he finds Peter and he says, "Peter, who do you say that I am?" And Peter, we see, gets this incredible revelation of who Jesus is. And out of that incredible revelation of who Jesus is, he gets a revelation of who he is. And he gets the revelation of what God's got for him in order to do. But it starts with that revelation of who Jesus is. When I first met my wife, we met at an event called Perfect Encounter. Isn't that fantastic? It sounds like a dating event. It wasn't. It was a Christian event. And Perfect Encounter was between us and God. And we did a joint youth event. I was leading a youth group in church. Dan was part of a youth group in another church, and we all came together in the area, and we had this joint youth service called Perfect Encounter. And I met Dan, and the moment I met my wife, Danny, I fell helplessly in love. It really was love at first sight. I know. Thank you very much. The problem was, Dan didn't. Yeah, exactly, right? I remember sort of saying to her, "Look, I saw this incredible woman. Actually, this incredible woman, for the first part of my life, I had to get before God and repent because she had a wedding ring on." And I'm like, "Lord, this obviously she's not my wife. I'm so sorry. God, I'm so sorry for even looking in that direction." Turns out, she's doing work with homeless people. In order for the homeless people not to harass her, she puts a wedding ring on. And the person that she was going home with was actually her brother. And so, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That eventually came out. Anyway, after a year of doing my absolute best to try and get Danny's attention, eventually I managed to persuade her to come on a date with me. And I thought, this is my moment. This is my moment. For a year, she wouldn't have anything to do with me. But I got a moment. And I thought, right, I've got to impress. So I dug out my finest suit. Oh, yeah. Taking her to the Indian restaurant. Korma and pilau rice. There's no end to how I want to impress her. And I brought out my perfect suit. And I looked the business. It was purple suit. What? Slightly shimmery. Listen. You need to understand something. That suit was all the rage in the 80s. But it was 1997 when I met Dan. And I turned up in my purple shimmery suit. I thought I looked the business. My mum, who just loves me no matter what I'm wearing, looks, "You're very smart, Tim." I'm like, yeah, I do. And I knock on the door. And Danny answers the door. takes one look at me, slams the door shut, and runs into the kitchen. And I'm there going. I hear later that her mum then has to persuade her to answer the door to me, because her mum thinks I'm a nice lad who's making an effort. And eventually, we got to know each other, and eventually, Dan got the revelation that I'd obviously had near earlier the time. Obviously, there's a lot more sensitivity with God coming from this direction that time. Dan eventually got the revelation that I was meant for her. She actually wrote me a Valentine's card, and it said, "Darling, you're the answer to all of my prayers." I know, you know you've won when you got that, right? You open it up, said this, "You're not what I prayed for, but it looks like you're the answer." Hallelujah. I just referred to the point I said earlier. No eye has seen, nor ear heard, the things that God has got for you, Danny. And eventually we got married. But you know what? From that moment, we began to talk to each other. And I like to think, as Dan got to know me and got to know who I was, not the purple suit or not the image that she had of Christian guys, and Dan's going to share a testimony a little bit in a minute. But as she got to know who I was, who the inside of me was, that's what she tells me attracted her to. I don't know why. I think this looks great personally, but it was the insides that attracted Dan, and she knew that I was the right one. When it comes like that, when it comes to our relationship with God, I don't know what you see Jesus as being. And often Jesus can be packaged in disappointments that we've had in the past. He can be packaged up with experiences. He can be packaged up with people's opinions. He can be packaged up with academic information and understanding. But the reality is this, when you have a relationship with him that goes beyond just hearing about him, that goes beyond your experiences of situations and how you put that upon your relationship with God, the moment you begin to know who Jesus is the moment Jesus comes and begins to transform you and begins to come into where you're able to come into an understanding of what he has for you. And I believe, prophetically speaking, that there are some people here that God is saying, "Hey, remember me. Remember me in all of the academic situations that you're in and academia, in all the experiences that you're going through when you're looking at the past and the present, in all the other stuff." I just believe God's saying, "Hey." Jesus is saying, "Hey, who do you still think I am? Who am I to you? Who is it that you see me as being?" I'm going to hand over to Danny, who's going to share a bit of her testimony, and then I'm going to come back and just conclude it yet.
Thank you, babe. That purple suit, it ended up in a black bin liner and sent to Kosovo the first year in our marriage. Gone. It's amazing what you can do as a wife, isn't it? Transforming your husband's wardrobe. The power. It's amazing. Isn't it incredible having a relationship with Jesus? Isn't it just amazing? How blessed are we? How privileged are we? When I look back over my life, it wasn't always that way. And when I look back at my life, I see that there was a very real war waging over my life. And I think probably many of us can potentially relate to that. I certainly can. Now, at the age of 17, I found myself in hospital very, very poorly indeed. I had to have a blood transfusion. I was losing lots of blood, and I was very poorly. We're just going to rewind now 6 years before, and I was 11 years old, and my uncle, he was the only Christian in my family at the time, and he invited myself and my cousins to go to a kids camp, and we were like, "Yeah, absolutely, we'd love to go." So off we went with his church. They were arranging it, and off we went to the kids club, and it was actually a summer camp, actually, and I remember being in the middle of a field, in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere. We'd just been to a service at this kids' camp, and they'd done an altar call, and lots of kids went forward for prayer, and I was the only one that didn't. I was just sat at the back going, not really for me. My cousins went forward, all these other people went forward, these other kids, and they all got prayed for. And I just remember in the middle of the night, in the middle of this tent, in the middle of nowhere, God just waking me up from my sleep and just saying, hey, Danny, why don't you say that prayer? Why don't you say that prayer? And I knew it was God's voice, and I knew he was talking to me. And then he just said, I've got plans for you. I've got plans for you. And I had to be really brave and really bold. And I woke up my camp leader that was in the tent with me. And I just said, hey, Tressa, I think her name was. And I said, can I say that prayer now? And she said, yeah, absolutely you can, Danny. Yes, you can. You can say that prayer now. So I said this prayer. And I know in that moment, I had an encounter with the living Jesus, the living Almighty God. I had an encounter, 11 years old, in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of night, I had an encounter with Jesus, and I was so elated. I got up, I ran outside the tent, much to her horror. She was like, wait. By this time, my whole tent had woken up, and I was doing cartwheels, and I was running around, as kids do. I had an encounter with the living God. I went home, and that same summer, my parents were not Christians, unfortunately, at that stage, and so I wasn't taken to church on a Sunday. I didn't know how to walk out the Christian life, and it was interesting, that very same summer, there was someone else that pursued me. Apart from this person didn't have the best interest, my best interests, at heart. And it came in, I used to live in London, I was born and raised in London, and this was like the mid-80s, there was a lot of gangs and gang crime and all sorts of things going on, much as there is probably today, unfortunately. And I got caught up in the wrong crowd of young people, and I kind of started a journey of destruction really from them. For a good number of years, and I was sort of into things that 11-year-old should not be into, drinking and drugs and all sorts of things like that. And unfortunately, it led me to a really, really dark place. When I look back, actually, there was a number of occasions that I remember it could have been fatal on my life, actually. There was one occasion where I was almost kidnapped. Bearing in mind, this gang, a group of kids, were kind of age range from, you know, my age, 11 at the time, right the way up to sort of 18, 19. And the drug dealers were sort of in their 20s, and they would come and give us drugs and almost like make you addicted. So you had to go to them for drugs. And I remember a number of occasions, one of them being I was almost kidnapped. Another occasion, a group of men propositioned me and my friends, and a number of my friends went, and thankfully I chose not to, but some not very nice things happened to my friends, and it was just a bad time. It was a really bad time, and I remember my parents coming to me, and this was in 1989, I was 14, and my parents said, Dan, we're moving away. We're moving away from London, and we're going to move to Southampton. We'd had a boat in Hive Marina, and we used to regularly visit Hive, which is Southampton, and our boat. And they fell in love with the area, so they moved down. But unfortunately, because I was kind of in that lifestyle, it had become a habit. I just couldn't get out of the lifestyle that I'd led. So even though lurking in the dark corner was no longer a drug dealer, it was like a New Forest pony, but I still was in that kind of zone of destruction and devastation. And then as I was getting older, I was in and out of abusive relationships, and I was just getting torn apart. I kind of got to the point where I was just literally on my knees. You know, I had no purpose, and actually had no confidence. I began to lose who I was. I had no self-esteem. I was just aimlessly wandering, existing, actually. And then I found out at the age of 17 that I was pregnant. And I was over the moon. I was like, thank you. This is incredible. This is the best thing that has ever happened to me. I am going to be a mum. Suddenly, I know who I am. Before then, I didn't know who I was. I'd lost myself. I was nobody. I had nothing and no purpose and no hope and nothing to aim for. Suddenly, I found out I was pregnant. I was having a baby. I was like, yes, I'm going to be a mum. This is going to give me a form of identity and purpose. And I was elated. But unfortunately, a few months after that, I started to lose my baby. And this is when I ended up in hospital, age 17, extremely poorly. So here I was lying in hospital, feeling desperate, literally on my knees. I couldn't even be a mum now. I've lost everything. I've got no hope. By this time, my parents and a lot of my family members had become Christians, thankfully, and they were praying for me. I think my mum was on her knees most nights praying for me. And my lovely nan, she came into the hospital to visit me. She was a Christian, and she handed me this book. Now, it was a Cliff Richard book, written by Cliff Richard. Now, I was 17. This was not cool. This just was not cool being handed a Cliff Richard book. It's a lovely man and all that, but, you know, 17, no, Nan. But on this book, it said, the title was Smile, Jesus Loves You and Has a Plan and a Purpose for You. I remember I took that book, thank you, Nan, that's lovely, hid it away rather quickly in my bedside cabinet in case the nurses saw it, feeling embarrassed. But do you know what? That book title and the little tagline on the book bugged me. It bugged me. And I used to get it out at night time and have another little look at it. Do you know what? I did not open that book up, not once. That title was enough. The title was enough. I felt Jesus come alongside me and say, Dan, I love you. Not only do I love you, I've got a plan and a purpose for you. You know, two things happened to me in that moment when I heard him talk. The first thing that happened was, without a shadow of a doubt, I instantly knew who I was. As he said my name, Dan, I love you, I instantly knew who I was because he was talking to my true identity. I lost myself. I had so many facades, so many layers over me. It was layers of protection and defense because of the things that had happened to me. But in one word or in a few words, Jesus cut through that and spoke to my true identity. And in that moment, I knew who I was. Isn't that incredible? The second thing that happened to me, he said, I've got a plan and a purpose for you. The second thing that happened to me is I realized that he had a plan and a purpose for me. Purpose entered my life. Purpose entered my life there and then. See, identity and purpose are intrinsically linked. I don't think you can ever truly know your purpose unless you truly know your identity in him, and vice versa. Do you know what? It had been raining for the whole time I was in hospital. I was there for over a week. I was very poorly, like I said. And it had been raining. It was just dark and dismal. But you know what? The day I left hospital, the day that they discharged me, the sun came out and it stopped raining. And it was just this beautiful, warm sunshine. And as I left that hospital, I felt God say to me one more time, do you know what, Dan? The sun's risen in your life today. Now it's a new day. You don't have to live that path of destruction any longer. The sun's risen in your life today. That was 27 years ago. And all I can say is that I have never, ever looked back since. You know, other people could have judged me and pointed fingers at me and said, well, you're just a consequence of your own choices. You made that life for yourself. You ended up in hospital in that way because of, you know, your own silly ways. And to be honest, probably true. But isn't it incredible that Jesus, my Jesus, pursued me? And he didn't come along and say, well, I did tell you. When I came in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of that field, when you're age 11, your life could have been completely different. But now look what you've done. He didn't say that to me. He said, Dan, I love you. And I've got a plan and a purpose for you. Isn't that just his heart? He doesn't judge. He doesn't cast opinion or thought. He just loves extravagantly. And that transformed my life. Let me tell you, God, we have seen, you know, we've had the great privilege. And don't get me wrong, I didn't just transform that day and I was like this renewed. It took a few years. But I had 4 years of just me and God walking on our own, me walking and doing that journey of discovering actually who God was, who this incredible God was, and beginning to understand who he made me to be, who he predestined me to be. Since before the beginning of time, so I had 4 years before we went to the Perfect Encounter event and I met Tim. It was just me and God. And that actually, that was the other reason why I wore a ring on my finger. I just wanted it to be me and God. I'd been in and out of relationships. I did not want that anymore. I wanted God's best for me. Because suddenly I realized that I was a daughter of the King. I was a daughter. Isn't it incredible when God says your name? When Jesus came to me in that hospital bed and said my name, Dan. I felt like I was the only person on the face of the earth. Isn't that incredible how he can do that? Because you are incredibly important to him. You are a son, you are a daughter. He wants to straighten your crown upon your head. He wants to put a new leap in your step. He wants to put a fresh fire in your heart. He wants to do incredible things in you. And we have had the great privilege of serving God over the years, seeing many people's lives set free. I've seen women come out of abusive relationships after years and years of just accepting it. No. God's got something more. I've seen people with drug addictions broken free. Another thing I struggled with was an eating disorder. I've seen girls whose lives have completely transformed and turned around because they suddenly realize that they are a daughter of the King and they are worth looking after. They are worth so much more than what they've been living for previously. They suddenly get a revelation of just who they are. And it has been a privilege. But trust me, and I say this with all my heart, if God can take a broken little girl like I was and use me, he can use anyone. Isn't that incredible? Because he gets the glory. He gets the glory. Instead of a path of destruction, he set me on his path of transformation. You know that battle that I said you often look back over your life and you know that was waging over your life, the war? I believe, for me personally, it was a battle between my true identity and false identity. Because I think that battle was very real, and I think the enemy knew that if he kept me living in my false identity, I'd never come into all the purposes and plans that God had for me. I'm going to hand back to Tim. He's just looked at his watch. That's my cue. It's like thank you, guys.
Two reasons why I wanted Dan to share that. The first reason was if you've never known Jesus and you never come into a relationship with God through Jesus, and you know, that is what God does. That is an example. Dan's an example of that love of God, that transforming love of God that totally gives you a purpose when it comes to your life. But secondly, I wanted Dan to say that because I just believe God's knocking on a door again and saying, I want you to come back to that first love. I want you to remember that moment when I got hold of you and transformed you. That moment when you got that revelation of who I was. Not a God who was a million miles away, but a loving God who gave his entire life for you. That's how much you mean to him. That's who he is, the Savior. For Peter, in Matthew 16, he got the revelation of who Jesus was, but it didn't stop there. He got a revelation of who he was. He got an entire name change off the back of it. He's now Peter. He's now the rock. And upon this rock, I'll build my church, and nothing will ever be able to stop the church from moving forward. Not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. When Peter got that relationship, when Peter had that understanding of who Jesus was, he understood who he was. Not only that, he understood his purpose. You got a purpose. You're not here by mistake. Ephesians 2 verse 10, Paul says this, you are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus to do great works that he's predestined you to walk in. You have a purpose. In the people around you, the people that you see in your workplace, the people that you do life with, God wants you to know that he wants you to have a purpose when it comes to their lives. He wants to see lives transformed. He wants to see people coming to know him. But that comes out of that relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus then becomes the legs and feet in your life. You can then display who Jesus is in the world that God's called you to. And I love this. The other point that that Peter got when he came into this revelation with Jesus was he realized just the power that he had in his life. Jesus said this, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, whatever you bind on earth will be loosed and bound in heaven. Something incredible within that. God has given you something incredible when it comes to purpose, when it comes to your life. That's why I can confidently come to you guys and say, you know what? God's got something amazing for you. Because you are so much more with God than you can ever be on your own. I was talking to a group of leaders a few weeks ago, and they were saying, well, what about this and what about that? And it was almost like a Gideon moment, you know, yeah, but I'm in the field and I'm the weakest in my clan and I'm the smallest and everything else. And I believe God's saying to them, and I believe God's saying the same to you, is this, you know what, guys, don't underestimate what I can do through you, because then it's me that gets the glory. If you feel weak, that doesn't mean you are weak. If you feel that you can't do things, that doesn't mean you can't do things, because it isn't just about you, it's about me in you. Yeah. It's about what I can do, the miraculous dwelling inside of us. I don't ever want to get to heaven and think, wow, imagine what I could have done with what was at my disposal. I don't want to be at the end of my life looking back going, man, I should have said something. Man, I should have done something. I want to go to heaven and go, thank you, Jesus. All of this was backing me where I was, at my place, at my time. You are where you are, not by an accident. You are where you are because from beginning of time, God positioned you in this place. You sit next to the person you sit next to in your office because God has designed for you and purpose for you to do that from beginning of time. Your neighbor is not your neighbor by accident. It's all part of a plan, and it's all part of a purpose. The people in your lives are not accidentally there. They're there because God has purposed it from beginning of time. I'll go back to the card I got from Dan where it says, you know, you're not what I prayed for, but it looks like you're the answer. It still hurts. But you know what? There are people in your world that are praying. You may not be what they're thinking the answer is, but God's looking at you to be the answer. He's positioned you in that place to be the answer. I spent like Andy, I was a police officer for 9 years, and I worked out of the CID. And while I was working out of CID, if you know CID officers, I mean, they get to see the worst in life, but you know, they kind of generally tend to be quite cynical. And because they're just seeing the worst in everybody, and it's their job to assume the worst, and you know, it's just the way it works. And I sat next to one guy who was on the verge of retiring. He was literally counting down the hours. I used to say, how many hours left, mate? And he could tell me pretty much the hours he had left to do the job until he retired. And he'd obviously seen a lot of stuff, and he knew I was a Christian. He was a dead cert atheist, did not believe in God. How can God exist in all of this mess? And I just remember God saying, you know what? I've positioned him to sit next to you for a reason. And I would just come in and I would just be positive. I'd say, God, I can't say anything to him. You don't want to listen to me, but you know what? I'm just going to be me with you. And I'm just going to be positive. And I'm going to, when I talk about my marriage, I'm going to be positive. When I talk about Monday mornings, I'm going to be positive. When I talk about my life and weekends and going to church and all the exciting things, I'm going to pull all of that excitement and I'm going to be positive. Let me tell you something. Negative people love positive people. Not. It winds them right up. They just want to have someone else they can moan to. And I thought, right, I'm not going to be that person. I'm going to be positive. And anyway, because I obviously annoyed him, he just took the mickey out of me for about 2 years. I was sat next to him. Anyway, his retirement due eventually came up, and we all got invited to go. And I sat there, and it was a big table. He got up to do his farewell speech. I was like, great, farewell speech. And he says, in the middle of this farewell speech, he says, Tim, I want you to stand up. I'm like, oh, no. I know what's coming now. I'm just going to have the mick taken right out of me. He says, no, stand up. So I stood up. I said, hello. And he says, Tim, he says, I'll probably never see you again. But he says, I want you to know this. Something about you, something about the way you are, what you've said to me over the years, the way you've acted has made me question something. And I just want you to know, if we never speak again, I need you to know that I've booked myself onto an Alpha course and I'll be attending next week. Isn't that amazing? And I've got loads of examples like that. And it didn't come out of me having this big spiel that I've researched and looked at and rehearsed over the years. It came out of me saying, God, I just want to show him you. I don't want to tell him about you because he's not going to want to know. I don't want to come off with this big scientific argument because I'm not clever enough to do that. All I want to do is show him what you can do in a life. What you can do in my life. I know who you are. I know who you are. And I know what you can do in me. And all I want to do is show him what you can do in me. Because if you can do it in me, he'll figure out you can do it in him. That's what God's wanting when it comes to your life. Don't look and say, well, I'm not an evangelist. And I don't, hey, it's not about being an evangelist. It's about being a Christian. Yeah, it's just about showing Jesus in the place where you live and place where you work. Don't say, look, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say half the time. I don't know what to say to that bloke. Half the time I was trying not to smack him one because he was taking a mick out of me. God, I will show you grace, your grace to him. You don't know what to say, but it's just about being. And you have a purpose. The people in your world, God has put you. That is your purpose. And that transformation that we heard about, that God did with Dan, is the transformation that I've seen speak to so many people. And that's the transformation that will allow you to speak to people. Whether your testimony, my testimony is totally boring compared with Dan. I don't say boring, different compared to Dan. Mine's different. I was a Christian all my life. And my parents were, my dad was a pastor. I came from a different background. But let me tell you something. It isn't about your past. It's about your present and your future. And as long as I can show God to the people in my world, as long as I can show Jesus, first you've got to know him. But then once you know him, you need to be able to show him. And it's all wrapped in that relationship with God. And I think what God's saying to you today, just as I begin to wrap up, what we're saying is this: remember who I am. I love you. I love you. I love you so much that I've got a purpose for you. I love you so much that you need to understand your identity in me is incredible. It isn't about the stuff you've got wrong. It isn't about your failures. It's about his grace. It's about the fact he absolutely loves you. You know, I love my kids. Like, I just love them. That's it. I love them. My son doesn't have to come and prove to me all the great things he's done during the week in order to earn my love. My son is my son because he's my son. He's not my son because of a portfolio that he's got over the course of the last few years that has meant that he's earned his right to be my son. He's just my son. His identity is my son. It's blood. It can't be hell. It's blood. That's who you are in God. Regardless of how you come here this morning, regardless of all the stuff that might be going on in your life, regardless of your failings, regardless of your successes, you are still a child of God. God still is God. Jesus still is Jesus. For Peter, the revelation of who he was came out of the revelation of who Jesus was, and Jesus don't change, which means you don't change. Which means the purposes that you've got don't change, which means the power that he's put upon your life doesn't change. Yeah. It's just about waking it up again in your heart. And I believe what God's saying right the way through this service with different words as well, God's just saying, hey, would you wake me up again in your life? Would you remember who I am again? Would you remember how much I love you? Would you remember the purposes that I've got for you? Would you remember what I've equipped you with? You have so much power in God. But I believe God's saying, would you wake up and use it? It's not about the past. Celebrate the past. Focus on the present. But be excited about the future because of all the things you've got in Him and can do in Him. Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You know, I just want to take a moment this morning. And this moment is between you and God. It isn't about the people around you. It isn't about all the things you've got to do or you have done this week. Just try and quiet your mind from all of that stuff. Right now, it's you and God. And you may be in a hall with a few hundred, but actually the reality is right now it's just you and Him. Just you and Him. He knows you. He loves you. It isn't about the stuff you've got wrong. It isn't about the sin. It isn't about the mistakes. It's about your relationship. His grace and His mercy can get rid of all that. It's just about you and Him right now. And I'd like to pray for two groups of people. Maybe you're here this morning. And maybe this is the first time you come here. Maybe you've come here a number of times. But right now, you're sat there and you've heard about Danny's testimony. You've heard about a God who isn't a million miles away, who doesn't look at the earth from a distance, not a God from some storybook, but a God who loves you. A God who knows you, knows the mistakes, and loves you. So much so that the Bible says He gave His Son, Jesus, and Jesus loves you so much that He was willing to go on the cross to pay the price for your sin, to be the sacrifice, if you like, to take the punishment of all the sin, all the stuff you got wrong in your past, so that you can know what it is to have an incredible future and purpose in God. And if you've never accepted what Jesus has done on the cross, I've got to tell you, it is A, the most life-changing moment ever, and B, it's the most easiest thing ever. You don't have to academically work it out. It's just a prayer away. In fact, I'm going to say this prayer now. It'd be great if we all said it together, but if I'm speaking to you, this is your moment. It's not an accident you're here. Your whole life has led to this point. And right now, this is your moment. So say this prayer after me. Dear Lord, I pray today that you'd come into my life. Forgive my sin. Forgive me for when I got it wrong in the past. Today, I take hold of everything that Jesus has done for me on the cross. And I give my life to you. From this moment onwards, in Jesus' name, amen. Just every eye's closed and every head's bowed. If you've prayed that prayer, either for the first time or you're just coming back, maybe you've just done life and you've lost all of it and God's just saying, hey, come back to me. Renew that again in me. I want to ask you in a second just to put your hand up and say, Tim, that was me. I just believe something powerful happens when we just witness it together. And on a count to three, so nobody knows when they have to put their hand up first. Everyone can do it together. You ready? One, two, three. Just really quickly. It's great. I've got you. I've got you. I've got you at the back. I've got you. So anyone else really, really quickly saying, Tim, that's me. I'm just going to pause just for 1 second. Father, I just pray for those that have responded to you. Father, I thank you this is the start of a new day in you, a new journey in you. And Father, right now, in Jesus' name, would you just help them take those next steps? Thank you, Father. I just want to pray for another group of people really quickly. Maybe you know what it is to have a relationship with God, and you know what it is to have that moment where you came to God, but actually, as you've been coming to church and as you've been doing life, I just believe there's been times where you've just lost. You've lost who you are in Him. You've lost the purpose that God had for you. Maybe when it comes to the future, instead of looking at it with excitement, you're looking at it with maybe even apathy, or maybe worries or doubts. Maybe stuff in the past has kind of robbed you a little bit of things. Maybe things didn't happen the way you thought they should happen, and maybe that's destroyed your faith a little bit. I just believe that the Holy Spirit right now wants to reignite something in your heart. So if that's you, again, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3. I'm going to ask you to put your hands up. And as you do that, I just believe that reaching out to God, that responding to God, is just going to be a moment for you. 1, 2, 3. That's great. His hands going up all over the place. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I just pray for a spark and a refire. A refire once again, Lord. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit, you would just come and you would just burn so much brighter in them than they've ever experienced before, Lord. New vision, Lord. A new awareness of who they are in you. Father, I come against any lies that have been spoken over them through other people or through disappointments or other situations that they've experienced. Father, right now, I just pray your truth as to who they are. You are my child. I have a purpose for you. I have and will continue to equip you, I believe God's saying. Father, I just pray for that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Wow. Yeah, should we thank Tim and Danny? That's amazing, wasn't it? Just brilliant. Thanks so much, guys.